You want to hear about the time I did?
Do you want to hear about the time you shit your pants?
You've heard this story.
No. I did pee my pants once. Walking.
Who fucking cares? Not even remotely close to doing the same thing. Like... Welcome to Subscurity, the podcast about obscure subcultures. I'm Brenna.
And I'm Jordan. And today we're talking about DIY fecal transplanters. So we were talking a little earlier tonight about how you would, or I guess my wife and I were talking about how we would change our bodies if we had the opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Like things we dislike about ourselves, changes we'd make. So I intentionally told you not to respond because I wanted to get it.
Yeah,
get it
you recorded. Muted me at the dinner table. Thanks. Yeah. I was just observing and listening. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it was a really enjoyable dinner, actually. I had a great time. But yeah, so my question to you is, you know, if there's any part of you that you would change, what would it be?
How much time do you have? there's probably a lot. And I guess just like philosophically, at the end of the day, I want to live in a world where everyone accepts themselves as they are. But that's just so much easier said than done. Like, there's so much pressure from the media. There's so much pressure from like what you think people should look like. And many people do modify their looks in a way, especially women. If you wear makeup, like that's part of it too. And I think it's just so normalized that we don't think of it that way, but it's modification of some sense, right? Like, making your eyelashes look longer, putting different colors on your face, like whatever. So it depends. I think for a long time, I thought I never would. And I think I've grown up around people who were kind of judgmental of people who get work done.
Right.
But I think if it makes you feel good, it's fine. For myself, I don't know. Maybe someday. I don't think I would do it anytime soon, but I guess I'm open to it, like, especially as I get older, if it just feels like something I want to modify to look better, maybe.
Yeah. So, but you're thinking about it specifically in terms of aesthetics. Like, you're talking about...
Oh, I would not change the stellar personality. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Okay, but so you're talking about your outward appearance, even with personality, right? It's how you present yourself to others.
Is that not what you were talking about?
No,
I answered that the wrong way.
You answered it the way I expected you to, but
okay.
But I want to, if I could probe a little deeper, what about things where you're dissatisfied with the way your body works? Like, I know last week we talked about how you mentioned that you have scoliosis.
Yeah.
And so if you had the opportunity to try to correct that, would you take it?
Without a doubt, I have chronic back pain and hip pain, and it can be like pretty debilitating at times. There have been times where I just don't sleep for months on end because I'm in so much pain. So without a doubt, are you kidding me? And I just think about my aging body and I'm fucking 30, right? And you just like all the things that start to squeak and hurt and everything. So, without a doubt. And I will just say, like, having answered both parts of your question, I think that's probably a double standard in society, is that I think people are more judgmental of cosmetic changes than, well, I need a hip replacement, right? And I get they serve different purposes. One is aesthetic, one is functional, but I think they both serve to make the person feel better in one way, shape, or form. So I don't know. I just it probably reflects the standard in society and how people generally think of it, and how I answered your question, I guess.
Yeah. If we can roll back for just half a second, you said parts of your body squeak now?
Yeah, don't yours.
No, but well, we can get into that another episode probably. there's a group of people out there, and we're going to get to the episode here, the topic that I want to talk about, which is people who with both medically approved methods as well as DIY methods will transplant feces into their bodies to basically change their microbiome, their gut bacteria.
Stop it.
This is a real thing. In the hopes of curing chronic conditions that they've been suffering. So today I'm here to talk to you about fecal transplants.
So it's not their own feces, it's someone else's?
Correct. No, their own feces is usually the problem. So they're looking for healthy donors.
Are you telling me? Wait, is there money in this?
That's
I poop once a day. I am regular.
Yeah.
Every morning.
You might fit the correct donor profile. I mean, I'm sure they're going to look for more than just how often you poop and the solidity of your stool or whatever it might be. But
solidity.
Yeah. What did you think I said?
Salinity. Like, why would there be salt? Like,
or selenium. Yeah. No. So, are you familiar? I mean, I know you are, but you're familiar. How familiar are you with the way the human microbiome kind of affects our general health and other kind of both physical and mental conditions?
The extent of my microbiome knowledge is that gut health is important. And I couldn't tell you anything more than that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the key aspect to it. So mm-hmm. You're on the right track.
Wrap episode. Nailed yeah. it.
Yep, that's it. Thanks everyone for joining. No, so the human if I can roll backwards again, the humans, you know, we think of ourselves as solid meat bags or whatever, but maybe you don't think of yourself that way.
Do we think of ourselves as solid meat bags? How do we unpack that for a minute?
What I'm trying to get to is that I read this description online, and it's just it's a beautiful way of thinking about it, that humans are actually elongated donuts.
What the fuck?
In that, from your mouth to your rectum, it's empty inside. You have a giant tube inside of you that is not your body. That is the inside outside of your body, if you will.
You're blowing my mind. Yeah, I'm just trying to fathom and comprehend.
Yeah, I wish this wasn't audio because your face right now.
My mouth is just agape and I'm just trying to take in what you've just said.
But do you see what I mean? Because your intestines...
Yeah, you're like a straw.
Yeah. You're a straw. The human straw. That's the episode title.
Is that a subculture?
That's probably closer to lunars than what I want to talk about. But yeah, no, you're right. We're like a straw. And on the inside of the straw, specifically in our intestinal tract, is millions, billions, trillions, I don't know, but lots and lots of bacteria that live in our gut and form a biome that helps us digest food, break it down. And research has shown, especially in the last couple of decades, that bacteria is intrinsically linked to really everything about us and in our health profile. So you have the microbiomes in your gut. There are more than 200 times the number of genes in just that bacteria than exist in your own human genome.
Really?
Yeah. The microbiome itself, your microbiome inside your straw, can weigh up to 5 pounds. That's how much bacteria how large the gut biome. That's a weird way to say it. How large the biome inside of your gut would weigh if you were to extract that from the inside of your straw.
Fascinating. So I know you're going to talk about transplants, but I think from what little I do know about the microbiome, is that some people try to regulate it just in terms of food. Do you know how much is genetic versus diet versus lifestyle? Because when I have come across it in reading, I feel like that's a common thing. It's take care of your gut health, and you do that by eating healthy and exercising more or less. So do you know how much of it is diet versus genetics and other factors?
Yeah, I think that's essentially what's being researched right now.
Okay.
And today, Modern Itch, Jamie Lee Curtis would tell you eat a lot of probiotic yogurt, right?
That's right. Yeah.
but that's right, because how you maintain and how you take care of the microbacteria that's flourishing in your gut and your biome, you know, is what's helping you digest your food, digest your food, regulate your immune system, protect against other bacteria that cause disease, produce vitamins like vitamin B and B12.
So that's produced in your gut.
Microbacteria in your gut produce it. You do not produce that. Mm. But your body can absorb it thanks to the symbiotic relationship we have in there. Vitamin K. And then beyond that, like we've been saying, it has links to your physical and mental health in a lot of ways. And research is just kind of starting to explore that. To your question, while we don't know the exact proportion of like how much of it is genetic versus how much of it is diet versus how much of it is environment, people who are fecal transplanters, I guess I don't really have a better name for them.
Yeah. When you said that, I was just like, what are we going to name this episode? What is our episode art going to be? Poop? <Yeah. laughs> We'll figure that out later.
Yeah. That's a problem for another day on Instagram. But, but yeah, so people who are conducting these fecal transplants, basically believe that you, by changing your, like drastically changing your gut biome, you can change your entire health profile in kind of one fell swoop, and that there isn't a natural way to do it. Like no matter how much diet changes you make, no matter, you know, what and how you adjust to an environment or adjust your environment around you, I should say, there isn't really a way for you to control that without essentially purging all the bacteria in your gut and starting over with a healthy profile. And to some degree, you know, that it kind of tracks with the idea that, you know, like research has even shown that your dietary preferences are heavily influenced by your gut biome. So it's hard for you to say change your diet when your cravings, the type of food that your body feels it needs, is coming from the bacteria that's already living there, right?
And honestly, as bizarre as it sounds, like, why would that be any different than a faulty heart or a faulty any other part of your body that you get replaced? Like, yes, it sounds gross and just obviously a little bit strange, but no, in reality, I mean, I can get on board with that thought process, because even the healthiest people can get lung cancer or heart disease. It's rare, right? But yes, at a certain point, you know, genetics are the predominant factor in your health in certain ways. So, I mean, that makes total sense to me.
Yeah, and we've often, many of our episodes so far, we've talked kind of with a skeptical eye towards the community's kind of belief in things. Mm-hmm. This one is actually very scientifically grounded. There was the first fecal matter transplant actually occurred in 1958.
Holy shit, that long ago.
Yeah, by an American surgeon who he was treating 4 patients with colitis, and I guess they were not doing well, and he suspected that the antibiotic treatment that they were on had killed off all of their natural gut bacteria, and so, which was leading to severe cases of diarrhea, basically unable to digest food, and so instead of flushing their colons with water, he used shit from healthy patients. Hoping to basically reintroduce normal intestinal bacteria into their guts. And as he reports in an interview in 2012, so, you know, 60 years later, it was actually effective. It seemed to heal them. And decades later, in the 80s, fecal matter transplants actually became an increasingly recognized treatment for infections that were caused by Clostridium difficile. So I think it's basically the infections that cause colitis. Mm-hmm. And today, my understanding is the FDA actually has signed off on it as an experimental treatment that they're researching specifically for colitis. So it is something that like the medical community does see as, at least within this scenario, within the specific scenarios, as something that is beneficial or can be beneficial to a patient's health.
And when the transplant's done, this is probably a dumb question. Is it, I assume someone isn't pooping and that's transplanted. It's truly like from your intestine to intestine.
You would hope so, but your assumption was wrong.
Really?
Really. So we can get into it. So, and this is where we start to change between what is the way it is conducted, like in a laboratory or in an actual like hospital setting.
Yeah.
Which again, it is a recognized experimental or semi-experimental treatment.
Yeah.
To what people who are suffering from things that are not recognized by the FDA as things that should be treated this way, and taking into matter into their own hands and how they have to do that, because this is not necessarily happening in a hospital setting. And so, yeah, it's gonna get a little dicey for those of you who are listening while eating. You may want to,
if you're still eating, what the hell?
you clearly have a healthy stomach that can handle all this. Fecal matter transplants can actually be traced back to Egyptians and Chinese doctors.
Really?
Yeah, going back even further back. But now, like I said, it has become kind of a en vogue treatment for this. Mm-hmm. And seems to be very effective for those people who are willing to undergo the procedure. But like I said, the people I want to talk about are people who are doing this DIY.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the subculture.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And I first learned about this about 5 years, almost 5 years to the day of when we're recording this. There was an article on the Verge website that details the account of a man named, Josiah Zahner, who is a biohacker, as he describes himself, which is a whole subculture I think we'll probably want to get to on in of its own at some point. So I don't want to get too far into it, but he's someone who strongly like believes that you can modify your body and your body profile to achieve better ends for yourself.
I mean, that's not really the concept in and of itself without introducing the fecal matter portion of it. I mean, that kind of resonates with modern science, dieting, everything. There's an ideal self that everyone can attain through diet, exercise, meditation, everything. Like, I think that's perpetuated and substantiated across multiple kind of thought processes.
Yeah, and I don't think it's, yeah, like what you're saying, if I'm hearing you right, is that it's not an unscientific idea.
No, it's not.
Yeah, and I completely agree, and I think he agrees with you. Where I think biohacking kind of takes to the next level is they're going beyond that, just like routine ways of taking care of your body, taking care of your health, and figuring out ways of, as they call it, hacking your body profile, like drastic steps that you otherwise wouldn't be able to take normally to affect your body's health and vitality and longevity.
And so maybe you'll get to this, but you mentioned in the medical community, it's used to treat colitis. In the DIY community, what are there other chronic illnesses people are trying to treat, and have they claimed to do so successfully? So what's kind of the range of symptoms people are trying to treat here?
Yeah, it varies. Josiah, I hope I'm saying his name right, but he describes basically in college shitting 4 times a day, being unable to keep food down very well, essentially just massive kind of almost like IBS symptoms. He says he went to a doctor and was diagnosed with, I believe he was diagnosed with IBS, but he's also kind of vague about what doctor said it and when. So it's kind of, some of it seems like it's self-diagnosis. He's clearly someone who's sort of anti-physician.
Okay.
He's also a scientist himself. He worked at NASA. He currently owns a company that produces CRISPR kits to like allow you as a consumer, as a like schools and people who like to play with science kits at home to edit microbial DNA. So this guy's, he knows what he's talking about to some degree.
Right. So, some degree. He just works for NASA.
Yeah, that's fair. But you'll see as he, because I want to talk through the way like he approaches it just as an example, but you'll see he takes a lot of shortcuts that make me think he's very smart, but smart to the point where he doesn't think he needs to know everything because he already does. You know what I mean?
It's kind of, I know this isn't exactly the same, but it's reminding me of our Law of One episode, because the guy who founded that philosophy or spread that philosophy was a physicist, and it seemed like kind of a jump over logic to get to where he ended up. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I think you're totally right. He also reports that he had like postnasal drip issues. He had bipolar disorder. And that one was really interesting to me because you'll see in many of the posts on the fecal transplant subreddit. Yes, there's a subreddit, a couple hundred people.
Is there a Facebook community?
I don't know. I'm not on Facebook.
Oh, that's right. Me neither.
Yeah.
I bet there is.
Listeners out there, if there is,
let us know.
Please. There are multiple posts of people specifically with bipolar disorder who see this as a viable treatment, which I found super interesting because if you look at a lot of the research, it's specifically around inflammatory intestinal gut type diseases. But the DIY community, as there's healthy is a strong word, but there's a moderate sized population of people who see it as a cure for mental illness.
And has it, like, have people claimed it works for them? And what's kind of the logic there? Because with other, if it was like physical pain, I can see that, like anti-inflammatory aspects. I'm trying to understand what the gut-brain connection is and if people have at least anecdotally said it works. And then I want to make sure I say this respectfully. Can you trust people's self-diagnosis of that? Because bipolar is so serious, and coming from two people who have their own mental health issues, like I'm surely not making light of it or trying to minimize that in any way. But when you have bipolar, correct me if I'm wrong, I think part of that is you're not always fully aware. You can convince yourself something is right when it isn't, or at least in terms of your own mental health.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily know when you're off track.
Right. As you kind of switch between manic and manic depression and functional depression. And
yeah.
Yeah. And what I would say is there's more people on the subreddit in the communities that I saw that it wasn't only bipolar disorder. That was certainly at the top of the list of mental disorders. In general, it was all sorts of kind of people who report self-reported, to your point, mental conditions and things that they were hoping to improve. To your question about effectiveness, the people who are posting on this are saying that it has been enormously effective for them. Now, again, we have to remember who's willing to undergo this procedure, who's willing to then report back, how much of it do you need to prove that things are working for you, right?
Well, and this might not be a fair analogy to draw, but I just think of it as sometimes you've been taking medication for a long time and you feel really good. You're like, I don't need the medication anymore.
Right.
And then you're off the medication, and before you know it, you're off the rails again, and you should have just stayed on the medication the whole time. So it's just that self-assessment of, I think you can trick yourself into it, and yeah, you don't realize that the thing you want to stop is actually what's helping you, because it's kind of this circular thing.
Yeah. No, I think that's all legitimate points to raise. Again, like, let me be very clear to all listeners, I'm not advocating this as a treatment. It is something they certainly are, but I think there's a reason why the FDA, why the scientific community, why the medical community has not just jumped on board and said, start putting poop in your stomach.
Well, also, E. coli. So can you tell me about the process, like the risk, like infections, like just think about all the parasitic, not parasitics, but the, yeah, E. coli outbreaks, yeah, in food, and how people can get sick if you just don't wash your hands after the bathroom.
Yeah.
But you want to transplant someone else's poop.
So Josiah Zahner, he took it a step further, and this, if you find the Verge article, it's very fascinating. He goes much further than I think most of these people will, in that he tries to replace his entire microbiome, not just his gut microbiome. So he takes antibiotics for days to basically destroy all bacteria in his body. It leaves himself completely immunocompromised, essentially, right? By destroying even healthy bacteria, you know, good bacteria that could help him. He goes into a hotel room, turns it into, the way I read it, like a Dexter style kill room, where he's sanitizing everything. He brings in new clothes that don't have a single bit of bacteria from his home, so that when, as soon as he's done with all this, he's wearing fresh clothes that isn't going to reintroduce bacteria to even his skin.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He scrubs his skin raw, right, to kill everything on all parts of his body. And then what he does is he takes from a donor fecal matter, and essentially using like a syringe, tries to inject it into a gel pill to swallow.
Oh my God.
Yep. There's an account in there, there's a paragraph in there, which just, I have to read out loud because it's just insane. Zahner unwrapped a brand new syringe and filled its barrel with a brownish liquid. He grabbed one half of a gelatin capsule, pushed the syringe plunger, and filled the capsule with fecal slurry and inconsistent spurts. Undigested portions of the meal are clogging it, he said. Frustrated, he removed the needle and pushed the plunger again, letting clumpy muck accumulate in half the capsule.
Oh my God, this is so descriptive. Yeah.
At one
point, is someone watching him do this?
So he invited a reporter who was essentially a hazmat suit, but not, again, contaminate with other microbacteria.
Can you imagine, Mom, I want to be a reporter. This is not the story anyone imagines covering. What did you do today, baby? I don't know why I said baby. Gross.
is that how your parents talk to you?
No. I don't know what that was, but I don't know. I just wore a hazmat suit and wore a hazmat suit and watched somebody inject poop into a pill and then ingest it. Just a day in the life of a reporter, living the dream.
It's insane, right? And he at one point the liquid that he's injecting in the pill starts dissolving the pill.
Oh, stop it.
So yes, there's an urgency to how quickly he can do it, right?
And do you only do one pill? How much poop do you take? And also, where is he getting this poop? Did he get off of the internet? I have a lot of questions.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the good question. Where do you get these things? And so there is actually, if you're doing this through a hospital regulated by a doctor, it's part of a colitis treatment or, whatever else, there's actual donor profiles. There's a organization that sets this up.
And do they do it the same way? So it's not surgical. Is it similar that it's orally ingested?
I'm not positive on how it's done in the hospital setting. So that's a good question. But the organization that does that is called openbiome.org, and they work with the FDA specifically for this. However, there is also microbioma.org, which was originally apparently a small local site out of Spain, and now has become the world's super donor bank for healthy shit for people to...
For the DIY community?
For the DIY community to purchase from and then inject into themselves.
Is it legal, though? So is there a reason that hasn't been shut down?
I believe it's heavily unregulated.
Okay.
I would imagine it's not legal in the sense of it reminds me a lot of the underground breast milk donor community, is also unregulated, right?
Yeah.
But happens frequently. Which maybe is a whole nother topic.
I was thinking of making that a topic, but that one's so upsetting to me.
Yeah. As he's eating these capsules, I guess eating's a strong word, as he's swallowing it, he even has a quote where he says, the main risk right now is mostly with the pill that I took. If there's any toxic bacteria that grew on it or anything like that, it'll put me in the hospital. Because he doesn't have an immune system. He's killed all of his microbacteria.
Oh my God. But he's an extreme example, right? Because most people haven't killed all their
bacteria. Yeah. So And he actually, and he does this, he came out, he approached it as a scientist too. So he's like, he's measuring his biome, essentially taking skin samples, taking stool samples ahead of it, and then sending it into laboratories to be looked at. And then after the procedure, you know, days, weeks, months by,
yeah,
following up, what he found was, and actually, sorry, in the article, the author also kind of talks about how the way he, like the amount he took to your question doesn't match like the amount that they would give you in a hospital.
Did he take more or less? He
took less, and he just couldn't force more down himself and stuff.
Oh, did it smell? Like, was it upsetting to him to take?
I don't think it was pleasant. No, it at one point it was described as smelling like a sweaty outhouse.
Oh my God. Why did I ask?
Yeah. So yeah, he is an extreme example. And what was shown was his, you know, there was changes, especially like his skin microbiome showed changes from all of that. It almost immediately started regressing when he got home because it started to show microbiome profiles that matched his pets and his girlfriend, right? Like, so that, because that's in contact with the environment so much, it changed drastically. But for his stomach, for his gut, that did persist. This starts to become self-reported, right? But he claims that post transplant, his post-nasal drip was better, maybe 50% than it was at the start. His bipolar disorder might have improved, but so he doesn't report having like kind of the same mental health benefits that some of the other DIY transplanters do. But he does talk about his new stomach being a powerhouse and being able, like, consistent poops, not 4 times
food.
A day.
Yeah.
He can digest food. He goes to a conference that he would go to frequently in New Orleans, and he has chicken fried steak, beignets, a po' boy with a crawfish reduction, lots of drinking and alcohol. Yeah. He says he powered through it like he was a 21-year-old. He also noticed his dietary preferences changed. He never was a sweet eater. After the transplant, he suddenly craves cookies and Oreos all the time.
So I can just blame my microbiome. Every time I crave pizza and sweets, which is frequently.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's kind of the implication here, right?
Yeah.
So he's the extreme example. Other people are not as, as obsessive, but.
Right. But is it a similar process for the rest of the DIYers? So there's a website you get fecal matter shipped to you, and then you do the same thing. You inject it into a pill and ingest it.
Essentially, you don't have to go through the website. A lot of people, this is going to be, it gets even weirder. A lot of people will go to healthy family members and ingest their poop. Oftentimes their children.
Oh God.
Yeah. So
why would you want, I'm just making an assumption here. It could be adult children, but wouldn't you want kind of adult bacteria? I don't know why I would think that, but wouldn't an adult have built up more immunity over time?
I would say my initial reaction to your question is that I don't think people always have the most scientific understanding of why they're doing it. I don't mean to be rude, but there's a lot of conflating of different scientific ideas in there.
Right.
Often, like the people you said, adults, they're not. They're often children. And what one thing that they say is that, you know, my child was breastfed and has a healthy diet versus what I had. So, you know, my gut biome is very different.
I would also think you would want someone not related to you for greater chances of diversification. Because otherwise you would think you've probably passed along some of your genetics to your child.
You would think so. And I'm pretty, like, I didn't look at this as part of the kind of research for this episode, but I'm pretty positive I've read that your personal gut biome is heavily influenced by your family. And in fact, most children, especially those born naturally, mm-hmm. Their gut biome very closely matches their own mother's.
If this is your way of asking me to give you a fecal transplant, I wish you didn't do this on air.
I'm lactose intolerant. So.
I'll think about it.
But so to your question about like how they do it, so often they'll take the feces from family members or other people. So it's not necessarily quote unquote approved.
And do you just like, because I think about going to the doctor and I've had to pee into a cup. Do you poop into a cup?
They poop into a Ziploc.
I'm just logistically trying to think. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I think. I don't know. We'll have to think that one through.
Yeah, well, you can practice later. But if you go to the Human Microbiome Wiki, so if you go to r/human microbiome,
yeah,
there's a wiki. They actually have full instructions on how to do it. This includes going to Michael's or a similar craft store, Hobby Lobby, wherever you like to shop.
Joann Fabrics,
and getting icing piping nozzles, like for a cake.
Oh my God.
Yep. To then extract the matter from the Ziploc and put it into a gel capsule to ingest. There is also the preferred method, which is the more direct method, which is simply to get a syringe type thing. Put yourself on all fours.
No.
Ideally, put your butt in the air.
No.
Yes.
You're making this up.
I'm not. Get it in there and then hold it in there as long as possible, ideally a day or two, so that it will.
Can you do that? Do you, like, how far up are we shooting this?
It's, you're giving yourself a fecal transplant enema is what you're doing. and then hoping that it over time changes your gut bacteria.
Okay, so presumably you can't do that one on your own. Who's doing that? Who would you ask? Obviously your wife.
Would I? It's a very vulnerable position to put myself in. I don't know if I want my wife's being part of that.
You can't unsee that.
Yeah. That's affecting my marriage for the rest of its existence.
Yeah, you can't come back from that.
Who would you choose?
Wow. I mean, that's quite a question. Probably a neighbor. Just because I don't talk to any of them, and like, or I mean, I say hi in the hallways, and so
right,
I have a very minimal impression of me, and I just think that'd be the way to really get to know somebody.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd ask any of my friends.
God, no.
It would have to be a stranger. Like, I'm only half joking. It would absolutely have to be like someone I find on Craigslist. You could find someone who's really into that.
Yeah, now they're getting a different end of that deal than you are.
Just stick it up there.
Yeah. But no, I'm sure you could find somebody to service that.
Well, I'm also just trying to think of the sensation. I'm sorry, but like, not just the penetration. That's one thing, right? No, that's one thing. And that's, you know, people have tried that. but then to have like a liquid evacuate itself up your butthole.
Yeah.
More so than I would imagine would happen from sex.
First of all, butthole is definitely a scientific term, but carry on.
That's a lot. I don't know that your body's meant to receive that much stuff up there when that's the part of your body that expels things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's an exit only, is what you're saying.
Well, yes and no. I don't want that to be like misconstrued as insensitive. I'm not obviously shaming anal sex by any means, but it's more the beyond the penetration. It's the
relief.
You know what I'm saying, right? It's like if you were having anal sex and then it was just a ton of ejaculate. Honestly, my parents are never going to listen to this podcast. I'm never going to be able to tell them about it.
I'm so glad we marked the explicit logo on this.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry, listeners, for all of this. I don't think this is how the medical community would necessarily advise people to do it.
You don't say.
Yeah. But this is how people are undertaking it. You know, there's a woman who was prescribed, or she self-describes that she was often overprescribed antibiotics as a child. Like, her mother had an inside connection with a pharmacist or something. It was like getting antibiotics anytime she was sick. She would just get antibiotics for her child and give it to her.
Amazing.
Yeah. A wonderful way to raise your child. And so now this is, you know, this is where, again, how much of this is scientifically linked, it's a real question, but the poster is convinced that that's why today as an adult they can never eat without feeling unwell, that they suffer from depression. I guess it's a woman. She does a fecal transplant using her health, as she says, her healthy 3-year-old daughter's stool.
Oh God, that poor kid.
Yeah, and now has miraculously recovered. No issues, no depression. Can eat anything without feeling unwell and so forth.
But define unwell, or do you have an example of a more, I don't want to say more extreme, but when you asked at the beginning, like, would I modify my body to fix like pain? Mm-hmm. And when my pain is at its worst, like, I would do anything. So I completely understand kind of desperation of people who don't get diagnoses, who can't get any fixes medically. And they're going to try anything. I can 100% empathize with that. I was, I think, expecting something more extreme, like I can't get out of bed in the morning. Is there any of that? And surely mental health issues are severe enough, but discomfort while eating, that's just one thing. Again, not to minimize it. Did you notice any more extreme kind of symptoms in there that people were trying to solve for?
No, I think it's mostly like intestinal type of issues or mental health type issues is what I noticed. And my kind of rationale for that is, if you're searching, to your point, like if you're desperate for something to make you feel better, whether it's in terms of how you poop or how you feel after you eat, or it's because you're just in, you know, such a bad place mentally, you're going to inevitably stumble upon these communities, and that's going to be kind of where you might be drawn to it. Right.
Yeah.
And that's, there's a cyclical nature to that where those people then will reinforce each other.
Yes.
Right. So I feel like that's kind of how this has happened. And I don't, again, like, I don't know how much of this is correlation, causation made up.
Right.
But there is at least one woman who did have bipolar disorder, and, you know, found that she had a continued state of mental wellness after doing a fecal microbiota transplant, as they say. I say fecal matter transplant a lot, I think, but it's fecal microbiota is technically the medical term, FMT. Another woman then kind of followed up to try the same thing for her bipolar disorder, and she did it as a case study with doctors actually involved. And that work was published, and it does appear to have, by doctor accounts, has vastly improved her disorder. So this is not, again, it's not out of the realm of scientific possibility. Now, do I think people should be doing
self-administering?
Right. I think there's extreme danger there.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it comes down to exactly what you said. I think you hit the nail on the head, which is people are desperate. Mm-hmm. And when you're desperate, this seems like a solution that no one else is willing to provide to you. So you might as well do it yourself.
And I think it can be kind of a mix of things too, because there's proof that the placebo effect, it does work though. Like the placebo effect is something working. So even if you just expect it to and you have the same end results, there's something that science hasn't really been able to explain, right? Is how the placebo effect really works. So I think that can be a part of it. I also think some of it can be, like, to your point, the medical community is doing more research about it. And I think on one hand, it does seem like a little wacky, right? And I would not do that without medical oversight. At the same time, westernized medicine has been so dismissive of so many treatments that just seem different, and we haven't done enough research, and surely we haven't solved every disease and everything out there. So it's not like we have the answers to everything. And I think we like to pretend that we do. And when something experimental and is kind of bizarre sounding as a fecal transplant comes up, people are quick to laugh at it, myself included.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it's just because it isn't normalized, right? And talking through it, I think there are some perfectly logical aspects to it. But yeah, then the DIY aspect is what's kind of to me.
Yeah. And yeah, that's kind of when it, again, like I first discovered this 5 years ago, reading that article, and that was my, I went to that exact roller coaster. It was, this is weird. This is gross.
Yeah.
That part hasn't changed, but you know, it was, I was very kind of dismissive of the, kind of the nature of the experiment, and then reading the accounts of people, and then even reading like the scientific consensus on it as a viable treatment, at least for some conditions, or not, maybe not consensus, but building consensus towards that.
Mm-hmm.
It started to kind of open my, yeah, my perspective on that a little bit. I still maintain people talk to your doctors. Do not just buy poop off the internet and put it in a capsule and swallow it.
By the way, we waive any liability. Like, don't try this at home.
Yeah, please don't try this at home. But if you do,
tell us about it.
Absolutely email us.
Yes, and tell us your firsthand account.
And that's DIY fecal transplanters. If you have an obscure subculture that you think we should know about, or just want to talk to us about the most extreme thing you've done to feel better, you can do so on Instagram at Subscurity Podcast. Our Twitter handle is at Subscurity Pod, and our website is subscurity.com. Our music is the instrumental of We're Better Together by Gore Mordecai. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.